So the NFL and the players are in deal-making mode. Joining us now to talk to us, the Drive Time voice of WIP in Philadelphia, Howard Eskin. Howard, what's changed?
You know what? I think the Damaris Smith, who I never believed had the best intentions of the players, now has heard from too many players once the ball starts rolling. And he's heard from players, and players have now called him directly. And it started with a few guys, and then it's become more guys. Hey, man, what's going on here? And they've contacted him directly rather than ignoring the situation and saying, well, he's going to take care of it for us, and he's the guy that's running it, and we'll just let him go. I think that stopped a few weeks ago. I forget, it was David Akers was one. David's kind of a nervous guy anyway, and he's got to find a team. He's got to know where his kids are going to go to school, know what he's going to do. He made it public that he got in touch with Damaris Smith. And there was another player, I forget who it was, but then more players. Brent Celek from the Eagles had told
him. Hey, Howard, how about when all the agents showed up in St. Louis at the 8th Circuit Court? You think they put some heat on him?
Yeah, and well, they put some heat on him. And the other thing that that Damaris Smith was hoping for, that was part of it. But all these teams now saying, the coaching staff, well, no, we're not on the side of the NFL Coaches Association. That was really just for the guys that got their pay cut. You know, and I understand why they complained and they filed. They got their
Yeah, but Howard, let me say this. Where do you think that the Coaches Association office is? It's in the same building as the PA. They rent space from the PA.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's interesting that happened. But I think the only teams, the coaches, that filed complaints were the ones that got their pay cut. And then you had all these other teams saying, no, we're not a part of this. So the players then realized, well, they're not on our side. They know what the decision's going to be of the 8th Circuit Court, which is just going to delay it more. It's going to be ended. A hearing wasn't scheduled until September. So at that point, unless you negotiated, you were going to have to miss games. And the other part of this, maybe the players realized somebody got in their head. If these owners meet, Vinny, you know as well as anybody, if they miss preseason games, that's a lot of money that the owners get, and we can't offer you the same thing in our deal for the first.
Howard, it's $22 million per club if they would miss four preseason games. The owners would lose over $700 million in revenues if they missed the four preseason games.
Well, and that's part of it. Then the players said, well, wait a minute, that's going to cut into our money. And there's guys now that really realize 80% of the players can't afford to miss a paycheck. So I think they started to get to Damaris Smith, and he realized that he has to do something that is in the best interest of the players and not himself. And I always believed that Damaris Smith was more concerned about his future as a litigation lawyer than his group of players. What are there, 1,900 players? I always believe that.
Ken Wyman, Vinny Serrato talking with Howard Eskin from WIP in Philadelphia here on 105.7 The Fan. Howard, when we talked a few weeks back, you talked about the fact that you said the players weren't aware of what's going on. What percentage do you think of the players seems to be aware of what's going on now?
Well, there's certainly more, and I don't know what the percentage is, but when you know that, let's say it's just a few guys that finally get to Damaris Smith. Brent Celek told me, he said, hey, tell me what the deal was. Because I've talked to Brent, and I told him what the last offer was, and that's not what he heard from the union. So he's one of the guys that works out with the Eagles. So one player talks to another player. I'd say it's probably now about 50%, just because players are talking to players, even though they don't all talk to Damaris Smith. And these guys are out there, and they're tired of the workouts. I mean, the Eagles went from not even a big group, from, let's say, 12 to 14, one day, I guess about a week ago, it was about a week ago, that they had two players there, and Jeremy Maclin brought a few of his friends, or Jason Avant brought a few of his friends. I mean, it's become a joke. This is not the way they're going to get it done. So now the players are more aware. Damaris Smith is aware that the players are aware, and I think that's really important in this whole situation.
Howard, what do you think the timeline will be once we get the framework? Say next week at the owners' meeting, they pass a new CBA on the 21st. What would the timeline be if something passed at that time?
Well, I think the Eagles, and I don't know what other teams are doing, had to make a decision on their training facility at Lehigh University. They said by the middle of June. Now, they can back that up if they think there's a chance. But I think it's got to get done in early to mid-July because they cannot miss training camp. They can't because you got to have the period for free agents to get those players in. Think about all the players that would get screwed in free agency that would probably have to sign one-year deals if it goes into August. Teams aren't going to take a chance on somebody if, I don't know, Terrell Pryor is probably a bad example.
Yes.
So why would you draft him now if you know you're going to you've wasted whatever pick it is because he won't be good for an entire year because he won't learn in training camp. Not that he'll be good anyway. I don't know that he'll be good anyway. But the thing is, there's other free agent, undrafted free agents. There's players that were late round draft picks. All these guys, you can kick them to the side if you don't have a decent amount of training camp. So I think to put things in place, you really, really have to get it done by early to mid-July because camps start, what, at the end of July?
I think the first one is the 23rd of July is scheduled to start. Yeah. The people that are playing, you know, in the Canton game.
Hey, they can get this thing done in 2 weeks if they wanted to. You just, every day, you just stay in that room and you get it done. You know, DeMar Smith knows what the owner's situation is. He really knows what they have to do. And the players recognize if they're going to get more money, hey, listen, we can't keep – if you miss one or two paychecks, there's probably, what, 60% of the players, maybe even more than that, will never make that money up. So what's the sense? It's not the Drew Brees. It's not Peyton Manning. It's not Tom Brady. They got enough money for the next four lifetimes. It's the other guys that need this money to move forward. And that's what I think is being recognized by the Players Association. But I think, to answer the question, no later than mid-July it's got to get done. And there's no way it shouldn't be able to get done by that point.
Ken Wyman, Vinny Serrato talking with Howard Eskin from WIP in Philadelphia here on 105.7 The Fan. Howard, a question I've been asking, and I'm curious to get your opinion on this. When in March, when they got the offer, DeMar Smith said it was the worst offer in the history of sports. How does he then sell to his constituency an offer that may be worse than that offer?
Well, here's the easy answer to that. The constituency never knew what the offer was. He never told them. See, he always came off like, you know, all that nonsense that he put on the air, and they're taking money back from us, and we're giving back $500 million. No, you weren't getting the money that you wanted. But the last offer that the owners, well, the last offer before they stopped talking, the cap was going to go from the last cap before the uncapped year from $120 million to $141 million in the first year. They were going to get to their number in 4 years, which is not as quickly as they wanted to get to their number. But he never told them what the deal was. He filled their head. I heard this from one player. Well, the owners are getting all these tax dollars to pay for stadiums. So I said to the player, why do you care about that? Like, you shouldn't care about it's everybody's tax dollars. And the reality is owners are paying a lot of money. The Eagles paid over $400 million. I'm sure in New York they paid over $400 million. Minnesota's going to have to pay over $400 million. But the Players Association never took that into account of the overhead. That never came off the money, the revenue. And I said to the player, I said, wait a minute. If they're getting a new stadium, I don't care who's paying for it. You're getting more revenue, and that's more to share, regardless of whether the percentage goes down. But the players never knew what the number was. So DeMar says, he can just say to him, hey, listen, they finally realized that we can't take this. All right, our percentage goes down. But look, guys, our money's going up. But he never told them that at the beginning. I'm going to say this, and this is my belief. I don't believe that DeMar Smith ever told them the truth about those deals for who knows how, for weeks and over a month. And the other problem I have, the guys that were in those meetings, and Brian Dawkins is one, and I know Brian, when he goes around, and I know he was telling players, hey, man, if we don't get our deal, you got to sit out the whole year. Well, that's great for him. He's already gotten his money. He probably is done. I don't know if he'll play another year, but he shouldn't play another year. But he's already gotten his money. I don't want to hear a guy like that tell me,
right,
hey, listen, we got to stay out the whole year. What do you have to lose? Come on, bro. So don't get me started on the players. Get me started on the,
well,
on
speaking of a player, Howard, is Plaxico Burress, like everybody says, coming to Philadelphia along with Drew Rosenhaus?
Absolutely not. let me give
which
you
which one, Plaxico or Drew?
Drew. Nobody wants Drew. The problem with Drew is you have to deal with him because he's got DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy as his guys. But it's all a charade. It's Drew Rosenhaus who gave it to Gary Myers from the New York Daily News to make it sound like, oh, yeah, the Eagles are interested. I've talked to a few people from the Eagles, and Andy Reid will tell you, and he's made this public. Hey, listen, I've talked to the guy before when he went to the Giants. I think he's a good guy. But what, and Andy, I'll say Andy Reid's told me this. Hey, I like the guy, but I haven't even gone there yet. And my belief is they don't need him. And Jeremy Maclin, he was on the show with me last week. He said, hey, man, I'm not giving up my job. Hey, I hope he does well. And if he comes to the Eagles, I'll be rooting for him. I'm not giving up my job for anybody. And everybody talks about the fact that the Eagles need a guy in the red zone. Last year, Jeremy Maclin had 7 touchdowns in the red zone. Plaxico Burress, best year, he had 7 touchdowns in the red zone. So the reality is they don't really need him. But here's the biggest thing, and this is why Drew Rosenhaus is a total phony. He doesn't want Plaxico Burress to come to the Eagles. He's trying to get a big deal for DeSean Jackson. Now, if Plaxico, and he needs Plaxico to catch passes, because I'm sure the contract will have a lot of incentives in it, so he would hurt both those players. Why would DeSean Jackson want to see some of those catches go to Plaxico Burress when he's trying to get, as he believes, he'll be the highest paid wide receiver in Eagles history? It is not happening. Is not to Philadelphia.
I have one more free agent question for you, Howard. I mean, there's talk here in Baltimore about the Ravens being interested in Nnamdi Asomugha. Are the Eagles also interested? Because they need a corner to replace Dimitri Patterson.
And I have been told this, too. They are not interested. And one of the reasons is you have to give them a long deal at 30 years old.
Right.
When they start to get 31, 32, you start to suffer these little injuries. But another factor is when you're paying Asante Samuel all that money, the other corner, and then you're going to have to put that same kind of money or maybe more, probably more, into the other side. You can't have all that money in two corners. You just can't do it. They will get another corner, but they're not going in that direction. I'm going to guarantee you this. That won't happen as well as Plaxico Burress is not going to happen for Philadelphia.
Where's Kevin Cobb going, Howard?
The best place is Arizona, and I know that Larry Fitzgerald really wants a quarterback. He's got tremendous confidence in Kevin Cobb. He's talked to people about Kevin Cobb. He believes that he could be a quarterback. Now, he doesn't make the decision, but I'm sure he has some input in the decision, because if you don't get a quarterback, what's the sense of Larry Fitzgerald being there? They need a quarterback. And if they get Kevin Cobb, you know, look at that division. Why wouldn't they be the favorite to win the division? Now, I know that St. Louis is going to get better, but they had a losing record. Seattle won't do it again. That was losing record was a joke.
Yeah.
But I think that Arizona at least will be one of the favorites to win the West, and that's why you've got to get him. I don't see any other place. Minnesota, I think it's just going to go with some journeyman quarterback, from what I understand. It's not going to be McNabb, but Vinny, you know better. He's not going to be at the Redskins.
No,
either.
Absolutely not.
So Minnesota was another thought, because Leslie Frazier is very close to the Eagles coaching staff, because he was here for a few years. But he's not going to go there. They're just going to wait for the rookie to develop and try to get some kind of veteran quarterback to be the guy for a couple of years. That would have been another option. San Francisco obviously is going to stay with pretty much with what they have. So Arizona looks to me like it makes the most sense, and it's the most likely.
Howard, I got a two part question for you, Howard. Why didn't the Eagles draft Jimmy Smith? And I think Albert Haynesworth will end up an Eagle.
Well, I don't have a problem with Haynesworth. He is such a dope. he really is a dope. Like,
Well, you got nice bars and waitresses up there too, right? That he can go hang out with.
We got them all, and they got the low cut deals. So he can slip his credit card into their bras, the other things there. But because Washburn's here, Jim Washburn, the defensive line coach, and he knows him, I think the Eagles probably feel that he can control him a little bit. Hey, don't be surprised, and I don't know how many guys they're going to get for that D line. That's where they need some help. Jason Babin loves Jim Washburn. He's a free agent. Andy Reid loved him before, but there were some people that didn't, and that's why they let him go after 1 year. But he's a possibility, but Haynesworth is. Now, as far as Jimmy Smith, you know his background checks they do?
Yes.
Man, it didn't come up pretty. It didn't come up pretty. It came up real bad. And I don't even want to go into all the things. I was blown away by how nasty that it looked. And they never had an intention. Andy Reid's into character people. And the thing that he worried about most, and he will never say this publicly, is Jimmy's going to come with one of his brothers. And that brother, I'll just say that brother is kind of along the lines of Marcus Vick. Does that give you the idea?
I got you.
That's not a good idea. And I don't think, and I don't know for sure, and I know John Harbaugh, but I won't ask him in a text message. I might ask him in person. I don't think he really wanted him. That's why there was all that confusion at that pick. So
he didn't want the character issue?
Yeah. John, more than anybody, I think he's a terrific coach, and I think he does believe that that's important. And he had problems. He was struggling with the character issues. He really was. And once the Eagles got past their place in the draft, I think there was communication between John and the Eagles people to try to find out a little about this guy because they know the Eagles did look at him. And I think he had some real reservations with that, and that's what screwed that off. And then I guess they were trying to trade it.
Right. Now, Howard, do you think – Do you think Harbaugh's a little nervous because he didn't show up for any of these workouts with his teammates?
I think he was nervous draft day. I don't think he even had a wait for it. He didn't even have to wait for workouts. I think he was nervous draft day, you know, just crossing his fingers. And you can tell a player all you want, hey, listen, this is what we expect here. This is what we want to do. But when you invest a first-round pick, you got to wait with this guy for at least 3 years. You just can't blow him up even if he doesn't get things done, but keep an eye on him. Now, in Baltimore, and you guys know better than I, can you get in a lot of trouble in Baltimore?
You can get a lot of trouble anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Well, hey, Howard, he's in L.A. right now.
Well, then he can get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, he's with the posse in L.A.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's terrible.
Vinny thinks there's two choices. He's either with his posse or he's working out. There's no C.
I think the posse part probably is more realistic than working out.
Howard Eskin from WIP in Philadelphia. As always, Howard, a pleasure having you on, man.
Thanks, Howard.
It's my pleasure. Anytime.
All righty.